Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a glorious mountain, but there sure are some treacherous cliffs. Let's come together in support and wisdom and community. We don't all travel up the same path, but we all have the same spirit. Join me, Sam Wild, for Up the Mountain.
Hello, everybody, and greetings from Up the Mountain. This is Sam. It's so nice to have you tuning in and have the opportunity to share with you again today. I'm going to share a little bit some of my thoughts around yoga, which is something I've been teaching and practicing and thinking about for a long time, particularly thinking about in the past 6 months since I've been doing some work on an old yoga book that I had put aside. In its first incarnation, it was called The Cat Puked on My Yoga Mat, and it actually has a wonderful story in it about cat puking on a yoga mat, although I have to say no cat has ever puked on my yoga mat. But it was a story of a student whose cat puked on her yoga mat, and a really, really good story. So I'll save that for another time. But I'm going to talk a little bit about yoga and yoga practice today. But you don't have to practice yoga or know anything about yoga to listen in for this. In fact, it might even be helpful if you don't at all. And then all of us who are practicing and doing it, which is lots of people that I know and lots of people in the world right now, always, there's always the opportunity to refresh our minds and to think in new ways about everything, including how we practice yoga. And what I wanted to share about today was how to actually practice yoga. There are so many schools of yoga. It's like a tree. Now I'm looking at a beautiful tree right now on this amazing June 9th sunny day. And when I look at this tree in front of me, there is a trunk at the bottom that's one, and as you go up, there become more and more branches as it splits off. And that's really what's happened with yoga in the West, in the U.S., since it came over here, just coming from one or two or three branches, actually, and then fracturing or splintering or developing into more and smaller branches that go out in all directions until you get to the point where you're coming to the end of the tree, where there are tiny little skinny branches and so many of them. And my experience is that every time I get the Kripalu catalog, which is the center where I did my yoga teacher training in the Berkshires, I will see all these kinds of yoga, and they all have their own name, and some of them are trademarked, and they all have their own style, and they all have their own method. So you will be able to tell, just talking about this idea, what else is like that. And of course, it's religion. Religion is exactly like that. We can go back and think about one trunk becoming two, becoming three, becoming 10, becoming 20. So there may be one tradition, and it branches off, and then it splinters, and then you have little divisions inside until you come to the point where maybe it's better even to describe it 80 years ago in the United States, where there were so many different kinds of Christianity, for example, and so many different brands and styles of it. I actually think there are fewer now, and many of them are changing, and things are happening to different churches, and churches are closing. But it's a very similar thing where you have this solid trunk, and then we get everybody coming in and giving their own expression to things. So now, you know, there could be Sam Yoga, right? There could be Sam Yoga, and then whatever your name is. There could be Sarah Yoga. There could be David Yoga. There could be Daniel Yoga. Really, every single person could have their own yoga, just like every single person could articulate their own religion in a way that would be different, because we all experience things in a very unique way, and that's the gift of being human, and that's the gift of being given divine creativity, so we reflect the infinite variety of the Creator. One of the images they gave us when I was in the new seminary where I had my interfaith training as a minister was the image of the disco ball. And that is the way to think of God as a disco ball, where you have all the different lights at different angles reflecting the light that comes on them. And those are the people, all of us, in all the different ways. But you could also just imagine if a picture could be taken of every person and every creature and every beast and bird and bug on the planet, what it would look like, the infinite variety. and the unique expression coming out of each person. So when I talk about how yoga is like this tree with many, many branches, it's not even necessarily a judgment about it. It's just that's what's happening. We're getting all of these things. And then what happens to people is that they're trying to figure out, well, what's the right yoga to do? And lots of yoga styles and traditions will say, this is the right way to do yoga. Ours is the right way. Ours is the right philosophy. This is the right place to put your foot. This is the right way to stand, and so on. Now, the tradition I come from is the Kripalu tradition. Swami Kripalu came over, 30 or 40 years ago and taught some disciples, and the tradition came out of his teachings to his student, particularly Amrit Desai, who became the guru when Kripalu was an ashram. And so the teachings from there are much broader. Kripalu has a heart and an intention and a spaciousness, but it doesn't have the specificity of one foot goes this way exactly, arms go here, you can't do it any other way, and so on. Some forms of yoga in the U.S. are almost like pyramid schemes, I like to call them, where it really is like from this narrow top coming down to the group of people, and it has to be passed down in a specific way. And you know what? It feels very special to be a part of it, just like it does when you're inside of a religion, and there are people who are in, and there are people who are out, and there are things and rites and rituals that you have to do. And when you belong to that, what a wonderful, delicious feeling of belonging. That's not the tradition I come from, and that's not my understanding of truth of yoga or spirituality. In fact, it's so broad that there couldn't possibly be an in or an out. In fact, there's no or at all. There's only an and. Now, more than 10 years ago, a man named Stephen Cope, who is a Kripalu yoga teacher, wrote a book called Yoga and the Quest for the True Self, which I recommend if you're interested in yoga. It's a wonderful book. I think I should write a book now called The Self and the Quest for the True Yoga. Those of us who are practicing are often searching for the true yoga, and those who aren't practicing, who may be peripherally interested, are wondering, well, what is the true yoga? Yoga is a word that means union or yoking, and I want to read to you from a woman named Swami Shivananda Radha. She was a U.S.-born woman who went on to become a disciple in India and then to start her own monastery in Colombia. I'm British Columbia. No, yes, in Vancouver in Canada. And she wrote a book called Hatha Yoga, The Hidden Language. Let me just read you a little bit of what she says. The human being functions in polarity, and this is expressed in the meaning of the word Hatha. Ha means the sun, heat, light, energy, creativity, activity, passion, positive. And Tha means the moon, cool, reflective, receptive, negative. The terms positive and negative also refer to the electrical chemical charge of the body, the right side being positively charged and the left negatively. We are dealing here with two extremes, heat and cold, activity and inactivity, positive and negative. The mind also has its own polarities. Life is mainly of such a nature. We move from one extreme to the other. This takes place because of preconceived ideas and a wide range of set opinions and assumptions. The ultimate goal of yogic practice is to be in the center. So that was from Swami Radha, and she says, the ultimate goal of yogic practice is to be in the center. So when people say to me, I can't do yoga because I'm not flexible, you know, it's the flexibility didn't enter into that definition of yoga at all, if you noticed. Or if somebody says to me, well, I can't do yoga because I'm not spiritual. Well, really, the way that we think about spirituality in terms of religion, yoga's not a religion, it doesn't enter into that. That description has nothing in it about religion or even about that kind of specific religious spirituality. The ultimate goal of yogic practice is to be in the center of those extremes which exist for us, the hot, the cold, the right side, the left side, the positive, the negative, the sun, the moon, the activity, and the passivity, to stay in the center. Now, there's no person that I don't know who wouldn't like to spend more time in the center. You know, it's not been my experience that because I've been practicing for 30 plus years, that I am always in my center. But I wish you could see me. But it's more like if you drew a line and it was almost like, you know, a pulse when you see somebody's heart on that machine. Now, I'm going to use a lot of very descriptive terms now. And the line goes up and down and up and down and up and down. You know, there is the sense for me that instead of going way, way up and way, way down, the length of my line is much shorter. So the time I spend closer to the center happens more often. Not that I don't go out to extremes sometimes, not that I've come into total harmony and equanimity, but that I'm closer to the center. And being closer to the center brings us into harmony within ourselves. And there's nobody I know who wouldn't want that. So when you're thinking about like, well, I don't need to, or I don't want to, or I couldn't practice yoga because I can't touch my toes, the real question we want to be asking ourselves is, would I like to be more centered? Would I like to live in a more harmonious way? And when that becomes the question that we ask ourselves about our yoga practice, when we go in and have a class, or when we practice in our living room, or when we read a book about it, or when we do a DVD about it, and we're asking, you know, how can I be more centered? How can I be more harmonious? The perspective changes. It's completely different. We're not trying to achieve or accomplish an external activity. We're trying to do something to the heart on the inside of us. So yoga is so popular right now, and it's popular, I think, because it is actually potent. It really does work. But when we dwell in the place of wrong and right ways to do yoga, our journey is going to be even slower. There's a great line by Rumi. He says, you know, I'll meet you out beyond the field of right and wrong. I'm not quoting it perfectly, but that's the essence of it. Yoga exists in that place beyond right and wrong. So when we're doing a practice and we're trying to learn or we're listening to a teacher, there isn't a right and wrong. And I would actually have to say that religion to me, in terms of the God thinking, the way we think about God manifesting in our lives, there can be no right and wrong in that either, the way we're trying to experience and understand the divine mystery. All of these parts of spirituality don't have the or, they exist in the place of the and. And I think what Swami Radha is saying there too is that there's the and, there's the left and the right, there's the cold and the hot, there's the passive and there's the active, and there's the sun and there's the moon. And we hold both of those together and we try to come and knit in and get closer and closer to the center. So how does the yoga practice that we know in the U.S., which is primarily moving the body into postures, which I love, by the way, how is that a true kind of yoga? And how does that bring us closer to the center? Well, it does it because it's a meditation. So that's the other thing that's a little bit of a bee in my bonnet, and was people will say to me, well, I've practiced yoga, but I've never practiced meditation. Well, of course, yoga, physical asana, posture practice, is a moving meditation. It's a meditation on the movement of the body, and it's a meditation on the breath. So when I have my students in a class, I expect them to do what I'm saying, for the most part. If they need to do something else for their body, that's completely fine. If the body hurts, or they need to do it for their spirit. But the reason we listen to a teacher give us specific instruction isn't because the right foot has to be a certain angle, because that's the right way and there's no other way. It's because listening to the direction and doing it puts us in the present moment and becomes a meditation. Your meditation is on where you're putting your body as you're listening to the sounds of your teacher and joining that awareness with the movement of the breath. And to sink yourself into that for a period of 60 minutes or 75 or 90 minutes is extremely powerful. In fact, even to do it for a little bit of time brings us closer to that space of center. So let's do it with each other. Now you're on your treadmill. You have to get off your treadmill. Actually, you could do a moving meditation on the treadmill. But if you're sitting down, I want you to put your feet on the ground. And I'm going to ask you just to listen to and follow the directions from my voice. And as you do that, to feel the breath in your body. With your feet on the ground, press down on the ball of your foot and lift all your toes up. And breathe in deeply to the belly. And now when you exhale, pull your toes away from each other and bring them down to the floor. And when you inhale, lift your toes up, all of them nice and high. And when you exhale, pull them away from each other and put them back on the ground. And when you inhale, lift your heels up off the floor. So you come onto the balls of your feet like you're standing tiptoe. And when you exhale, go back to the heels and lift the toes. And when you inhale, lift the heels. And when you exhale, release the heels and lift the toes. And when you inhale, lift the heels. And when you exhale, put the heels down and lift the toes. And now settle the whole foot on the earth. And we pause for a moment just to notice that even the briefest practice of yoga as a meditation closer to the center and to that place of harmony and presentness. Do you feel even a little bit more present, even a little bit closer to that place in the middle where we're not swinging from side to side? Well, we can just begin to get a little taste of it, and then we can practice for 20 and 30 years, and then we can get a little bit of a bigger taste of it, and so on like that, because it's really a long journey, and we're always, always students. So there's a little bit of sharing. There's so much I have to say about yoga, but I hope that that brings you some awareness about your own practice, or maybe if you're thinking about doing yoga and you haven't done it yet, or you want to do more practice, could this bring you a little bit closer to getting to that place to open the mind and step into a new way of being in that union, that wonderful union with the body, the mind, the heart, and the breath. So glad that we had this time to be together, and I'm wishing you a beautiful and blessed day.